Yo, what's up, guys? JB here. Today is Saturday, the 23rd of October. We are 1 week away from Halloween. My voice is a little bit raspy because I'm getting a little bit sick, but I'm excited. We've got this cool podcast tonight with someone fresh, a new face on Theory 11. His name is Kaylin Morelli, and he's on the podcast with us right now. Kaylin, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you, man.
Bingo. So we are going to answer the questions you guys have submitted throughout the night tonight. We've got a lot of questions across every possible subject line I can think of, and we're going to try to get to as many of those questions as possible. For people that are listening to this that are not yet familiar with Kaylin's work, we just released his first DVD on Theory 11 last night called Transit. It's a rubber band effect. It's super cool. But even more than that, Kaylin's created a lot of new material, and a lot of people have seen that on his blog that's called 365, the 365 Days of Magic. The idea of 365 is not new. I've seen people try to do this before where they say, I'm going to write down or I'm going to create a new effect every day. I remember one of the first pieces of advice that I heard Chris Kenner give someone was every day write down an idea, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, every day write down an idea. But it's very difficult to come up with good ideas every day. And I think that's where Kaylin, you have really excelled.
Hey. Yeah. I was just going to input something really quick. Cause I've heard that from Chris Kenner too, you know, saying to write down like three ideas a day. Mm-hmm. But the idea for like the blog really was to take that a step further, to be able to bring an effect or an idea and bring it into a working effect in one day.
Correct. Yeah. And I think
so because that just makes it a whole new ball game, you know, from just saying, okay, this would be an awesome idea, as opposed to being able to bring that into a whole working effect that you can perform and, you know, get down in a day.
Correct. So. No, I agree. It's a step beyond to say like, hey, I want to come up with a trick with a Red Bull can, and B, to come up with a trick with a Red Bull can, to videotape it and to post it online for criticism within 24 hours and do that consistently and make the ideas consistently good. So it's gotten a lot of attention. A lot of people have posted very positive comments, even from our team. And we're going to discuss Kaylin's process for doing that throughout the night tonight. We want to get to as many questions as we can, so I'm going to kick this off, Kaylin, if that's okay with you, as soon as we can here. So the first question I want to ask was submitted by J. Roberts 05. I'm not sure how that's pronounced. He's in New York City. His post number is 3, or he's outside of New York City. And his post is saying, how challenging was it to come up with a new effect every day? Did you try to switch genres every day, or did you just let the creative juices flow? And did you ever hit a dead end? And if so, how did you overcome that? So just basically, I think he's asking, how has this process been like for you? What is this adventure you've been on, and how has it been thus far?
It's been fun. It's been really fun, but also very, very challenging, because I think after about the first month, it's got a little bit easier, but if anything, just a little bit, because each day I'm not sure when I'm going to create the idea that I'm going to use. So sometimes it's in the morning and then I have a full day to work it out. But like, for instance, this week alone, I've spent, Let's see. I was up last night till 3 o'clock. That's when I filmed the effect. And the night before, I was also up till 3 o'clock, because I wanted to put some time into the idea to get it worked out. And so it kind of depends, you know, on how challenging it is each day. But also, you know, the later I come up with it in the day, it becomes more challenging, you know, because my mind just doesn't work as well, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know whose does, but
mine does.
Yeah. And as for like genres, what I do mainly with this is, for this blog, when I create an idea, I try and for the next day when I wake up, I try and think of the most opposite thing than the thing that I did before. So I just try and think just totally what is not even like this remotely. And some days when I create something, it inspires me for another idea, and then so maybe the next day I will do something similar. But you know, I do just let my creative juices flow. And you know, sometimes have I ever hit a dead end? I have. And I do have a few effects that I have like on backup for my blog, just in case I don't don't have, you know, an effect for that day. But these are not effects that I've had before I started my blog. These are effects that when, like, maybe one day I'll come up with three ideas. So I'll put two of these ideas away and I'll work on them a little bit later. So that's kind of what I've been doing with my blog. So
it's amazing. No, I think it's very impressive. Not only someone else posted this, it's not the quantity of effects. That's impressive too, but it's the quality of each of them that's been the differential factor in what I think what you've undertaken sets people apart. So that's great. I'm switching focuses here. There's the next question by CardMaster211. His post number is 5. He's not talking about the blog. He's talking about transit. He says, how did transit come to mind? What inspired you to create it? So you can talk about what was that process like creating transit? Did it come to you? Was it inspired by another effect? And what was the process like for that?
So transit was pretty much inspired by an idea that I had, and usually I don't create it this way, but I had what the full routine should look like before I created the routine. So I just kind of visualized the whole routine, and then I just, and actually after I visualized the whole routine, it actually took me about a week to come up with the method for it. Before, like, because I played around with a lot of different methods for the effect, and then I, you know, found the method that worked the best, the one that was used. And, you know, so it was just, it was kind of inspired by a moving ring effect, because, I mean, it does resemble a few, like, it faintly resembles kind of like, you know, a Jay Sankey's mercury effect, and the when you pull it back through your fingers. But the thing was, is I like the idea of putting a rubber band around your finger because, you know, I really like organic magic, and that's what it really feels like to me, where it's just, you know, you have a rubber band, and also I think it makes it a little bit more possible to a spectator when the spectator tries to wrap their mind around a rubber band that's wrapped up that doesn't, you know, hold its shape, moves from finger to finger, so...
And then I think a rubber band gives it some more intimacy. Everyone's held a rubber band before. It's not a weird-looking object. They examine it at the beginning. They examine it at the end. So I think that that makes it a little bit more believable or intimate to, in the eyes of the spectator.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's keep this going. There's a question here by Nickerus, his post number 7. This might be a quick answer, but you give us the overview. Who in magic has affected you the most? Do you have a particular favorite performer, favorite creator that stands out in your mind?
For performers. A performer that I enjoy watching is Dynamo. I really like his style of magic a lot, and think that, you know, he's done a lot of good for, like, you know, even the UK. If you guys haven't checked out his stuff, it'd definitely be worth checking out. He's got some really cool videos on YouTube. I really like watching him perform. As for, like, creators that I like, I respect a lot of the creators. I respect pretty much anyone that, you know, puts a lot of time into something and works it out to the best of their ability, you know, to be able to make an effect, a magical effect, you know. So just some names off the top of my head. I do like Daniel Garcia's material. I like Kostya Kimlat. I like Kimlat. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm just kind of going blank right now. But definitely, honestly, Daniel Garcia was what really inspired me when I was just starting out in magic with his style of creating. So that's kind of what there is on that.
Cool. This is a question that's kind of talking about where your focus is. When you came to New York City, and remember when we were performing transit and some other things on the street, it was obvious that you don't just create. There's a lot of guys who work with, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with this, but they just create. Their passion is in creating, and they like that innovation process. There's also got, you know, plenty of guys that we work with that love to perform, and they don't create, which is also fine. It was obvious when we were filming with you on the street that you do both, that you like performing. You have no hesitation in approaching people on the street, engaging with people, making an entertaining performance. So the question by Adam F., his post number is 11, what do you enjoy doing more, creating or performing?
Honestly, I enjoy, I think what I enjoy more is creating, because, but I don't think that I could just create and not perform, because, I mean, first of all, to create, you have, I mean, you cannot create an effect without performing it and trying it out, because that just doesn't work. I mean, then it's just an idea. So, you know, I really do like, creating. And you know, what you said is, yes, I do perform. I mean, I perform full time. I do things from close-up gigs to stand-up shows, you know. And in high school, you know, that's what I did, you know, kind of just like the street magic style magic. So I definitely do love to perform. So
do you think that your passion's in like a 50-50 relationship, or is it like a 60-40?
I would say like a 75-25, like creating the more – the higher one.
Got it. This is a question that's jumping back to the 365 blog. And it's an interesting question. You kind of touched on it earlier, but it'd be good to get a more direct answer on this. The posters is the Mosky. He's in central New York. His post says, 365 looks like a really ambitious project, and from what I've seen so far, you're off to a great start. Now that you're some 40 days in, are you worried that you'll lose your steam? Or is it actually becoming easier to come up with each new effects each day?
Oh, so yes, it is a super, it's a very ambitious project. You know, the project itself, it is really, oh man, how would I say this? I don't think I'm going to lose steam, but it doesn't get easier, because each day, I have to put time in of just focusing on creating, because if I don't, you know, then pretty soon it's 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and yeah, I haven't created anything in the day, and then I have to force myself to, in a certain amount of time, create something, which is not the best way to create, in my opinion, you know. So it doesn't really get easier, but I definitely feel like when you, just like performing, the more that you perform, the better performer that you are. And the more that you create, the more that you condition your mind to think in a certain way, to look at objects and look at every single type, you know, just to tear apart the object with your brain to figure out what you, just possibilities that you could do with that object, you know. Like I'm looking at a hand sanitizer bottle on my desk. And right now, you know, looking at it, you know, I would go through about 10 to 20 ideas of what are possible effects with this, you know. And then you could either work out a methods from there, or I could look at it and think of what would be some cool concepts of methods that you could do. So that's kind of getting off topic a little bit, but you know, it doesn't really get that easier, you know, as it goes on. It's just that I'm able to kind of, and actually, so I actually have a schedule kind of that I use for my blog to create on. So
what is kind that of a schedule?
What I do is, I try and schedule out a time of when I have the idea by, so I spend the first part of the day working out the idea, and then I spend the time working out, methods. And then the filming, what I do is when I do the filming kind of acts as, I know that the first 20 take, I use the filming as kind of like an idea for like a spectator kind of, you know. So so instead of going out, yeah, it's practice, you know, instead of going out and performing it, practicing it 50 times, I might perform it 20 to 30 times right when I'm working on the effects for the camera, so that I can rewatch it, you know, and just critique it myself. So I really take advantage of a video camera in this project with my blog.
I think that's a great thing. I mean, people use mirrors to practice, but there's not much better than
a video camera. That's a huge key in what I'm doing with my I just bought, you know, a nice like HD camera for, I think it was like $250 or something. Not too cheap or not too expensive. So.
Yeah, I think that a video camera, a mirror, you know, doesn't move. It's on the wall, but a video camera you can place on your left side, on your right side, directly in front, above, below. You can learn your angles based on where the camera is, and it helps you practice in a different way.
Yeah, definitely.
So speaking about off-topic things, because you mentioned that a second ago, The question posed by DB Magic 4 in Huntington, West Virginia, is post number 20. This is a question we usually get in every single roundtable discussion we do, and I like to ask it because I think it provides a window into how your mind works and what your passions are. And he's saying, if you had to choose one other job besides Magic, what would it be and why? So is there something else you're interested in? For example, Andre Jix, heavily interested in gymnastics and that kind of thing. His whole family background is that. Homer Leeweg is very interested in photography and those kind of art forms. Is there something else? Is there an interest of yours that not a lot of people know about that you derive some passion from?
Yeah, I'm kind of a rap star. I'm just kidding. No, let's see. I enjoy graphic design a lot. Like working on kind of stuff like that. And I design all like my own like business cards and promotional material and stuff, which is in the same way. Like I've taken a few classes for it and stuff. So graphic design is something that I enjoy that I could see myself doing if I did not do Magic, but I don't foresee me going into a graphic design career.
Interesting. The question here by Reddy Spades is in Yorktown, Virginia. He's saying it's evident you don't fall into the category of a coin magician or a card magician, but you are, he's saying you're the epitome of what a magician should be, using everyday objects to create astounding effects. He asks what the fundamentals are that you studied to get where you are today. So, I mean, you can make this a little bit broader than that. What is, you know, the Caleb Morelli story? How did you get started in magic? What's the path that led you to where you are right now?
Well, I got started by watching David Blaine special, and I got fooled. And honestly, like before I had seen this special. Or anything. So I had no knowledge in magic whatsoever, and even like seeing another live magician.
Say that one more time, because I think your mic might have cut out. I heard you say you saw David Blaine's special.
Yeah, I saw David Blaine's, I think it was his Dive of Death. No, Dive of Death. No, that was like a month. That was like a year ago. No.
2 years ago, actually, yeah.
Yeah, 2 years ago, yeah. Getting that mixed up. There's too many David Blaine specials. Let's see. It was his Drowned Alive special, I think. His Drowned Alive special. There was a trick on there called, it was a self-tying shoelace. And that was the effect that really stood out to me for some reason. Because when I saw it on TV, it was really convincing to me. Like, it looked exactly like what he said he was doing. So Kalen went and, this is embarrassing, but I'll say it. I went and practiced that effect the way David taught it to the whole nation for the next week in my bedroom. And trying to tie my shoelaces, and it did not work. So after that, then I ended up getting that effect, and then from there I purchased some books like the Art of Astonishment and stuff. And that Paul Harris's work really inspired me a lot, also with his kind of just out of the box thinking. So. I don't know. And as far as just going from, I started out not really creating a lot of stuff, but then it just kind of hit me about how I really enjoyed creating stuff, you know, like outside of magic. Like, I really enjoyed being creative. So, you know, magic kind of gave me an outlet to just use my creativity that I already really enjoyed doing.
No, I think that's very interesting. A lot of people are going to be envious of you when they hear what you just said, because you mentioned starting magic or really getting into it after his Drowned Alive special, which was not, you know, too long ago. So it's pretty evident that you hit the ground running pretty quickly in magic. So as soon as you got into it very heavily, and you've been very fruitful in what you've created in a very short amount of time. There's a lot of people, and I'm sure there's plenty of people listening to this, that have been in magic for 5, 10, 15 years that would, you know, be very envious of creating as much as you have and the quality of the stuff that you have already. So it's very impressive, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I look at creating right now as almost, one thing that I look at magic as is I enjoy doing it, but I also look at it as a job, you know, because that's all I'm doing right now is magic. performing and creating. So I look at performing as a job, and I also look as not really creating as a job, but I work it kind of like a job where, you know, I spend time, you know, and just create stuff. And, you know, I do spend a lot of time on magic, you know, and like you said, you know, it's evident, but, you know, it's just something that I really love doing. So I don't really like, I can go, you know, for 5 hours I'm working on an effect and, you know, feel like no time has passed. So,
There's a question here by Illusionist Kaysen. Is also asked, two posts prior by Boswell Magic. He's saying, when creating a new effect every day, how do you avoid writer's block? You mentioned briefly earlier that you try to think of opposing ideas. So if you think about something relating to paper, you know, one day you might want to think about something completely separate, like gum the next day or shoes the next day. Is there a specific thing you've done to avoid writer's block, you know, from the get-go?
I don't think there is a specific thing that I've done. I've just done it by making sure that, like if, for instance, I was to say that I'm going to create a new card trick each day, that could be really difficult, but there's so many items that can be used for magic that have not been used. I just have to, you know, use my creativity to just get out there and just, you know, look for items to use or stuff. You know, sometimes, something I heard Cyril say and Cyril, and he said something where when he creates, he doesn't just sit down, you know, at a desk and try and come up with ideas. He goes out, you know, walks around, hangs out with people and gets inspiration from, you know, just doing things normally like everyone else does. And I had done that some, but not consciously. And now I do that consciously. And I find that has helped me out a pretty good deal in creating. And that's something that I can say that has really made my creativity, like, get me some ideas that I know that I would not have had if I would not have, you know, consciously said, you know what, I'm going to go and, you know, hang out at the mall with my friends but not just go like just there to hang out, but just be conscious of just everything that's going around, you know, like for instance, what people do, you know, like if there's any way that you could create that into an effect, you know, what just everyday things that people do around you. So it's all just kind of it's an interesting thing, but it's all just kind of a process, you know, like for instance, the creativity process of something, I don't think anyone can honestly just say what their creativity process is because it's so different.
Or what works for one person might not.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all, and you know, my creativity process changes from day to day. You know, some days I'll go out and I'll walk through a store and just look at items, you know, and think about what I could do with those items. Or some days, you know, I'll go to somewhere where just a lot of people are and I'll just, you know, watch people. That sounds so stylish.
Sometimes I'll go to a daycare center and just hang out outside in a black
Subaru. Yeah. Black Subaru.
Yeah.
The people inside are like, oh, that's just a magic man.
Yes, I'm awkward. Sure that's exactly what they say. So speaking about getting out and being with people, when we were in New York and we were performing Transit, there's a clip of this that makes it into the DVD. We performed for a group of people, and the group of people was made up of about 5 girls and 1 guy. And
I remember that.
I'd say about 90% of the time you perform for 5 girls and 1 guy, that guy hates you. He wants you to die and go away because he's with 5 girls and he's the guy, and you are the focus of attention during that performance. So a lot of magicians have different approaches to how they would deal with a situation like that, a heckler situation. That guy was a heckler. He was constantly, throughout the entire time that you were performing and laughing and everyone else was having a good time, he was trying to do whatever he could to
kill this man.
So the question here, Anthony Almario from the Philippines is saying, when you find out that the group you perform to are somewhat hecklers or contain hecklers, what do you do? Do you have an approach of how you normally deal with that when you're performing?
Oh, let's see. Well, usually I think that involves in picking your audience well and being able to know from just experience performing, like for instance, that situation is not a great situation to go into. So, I mean, if you have to perform for them, it would, it's a difficult situation, but you have to somehow, you know, win them over so that you don't look like you're, you know, maybe you just buddy up to the one guy so that maybe you're making the girls seem like the bad guys or, you know, something. So I don't know. It, there's always different ways. Each person is different, but you know, it's interesting because like with that situation, that was just kind of a, since I knew that that was a hard group, that was just kind of an ego trip because Dan was like, oh, you should try those. And I was like, oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I know that's going to be a rough group.
And yeah. It was
a rough, yeah, well, exactly. It's real. It's very unfulfilling, you know, because they're not wanting, when someone's heckling, like there's no, I don't think there's really any use saying, oh, I'm going to pull out my best tricks and fry them. Because if they're heckling you, they're not going to, even if they're really amazed, they're not going to voice it and show it that they're amazed. So, I mean, you're not going to, they're just going to look the same way that they looked when you did, you know, your retention vanish.
Correct. They want you to fail. They don't want to be entertained.
Yeah.
They're not open to being just entertained and let their mind.
It's a lose-lose situation, you know.
Correct.
So
usually there's two ways to deal with a situation like the one that you were in, with a lot of girls that were okay and they wanted to be entertained, and one guy that did not like you being the attention. It's the same thing when you might approach a girl and her boyfriend on the street. If you don't engage the boyfriend first in that situation, that's the only way to pacify the situation is to approach him first, and then the girls is like an afterthought. So that way the guy doesn't think that you're hitting on the girls or something like that. But if it's a heckler in a group, you kind of have to choose whether you're going to engage with that person early on to try to pacify them or ignore them altogether. No matter what they say, you focus on the people that want to be entertained.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hecklers are a tough situation. Like I was just going to I just thought of something. Over the summer, I did a bunch of fair gigs, or like week long fairs, where I'd do like, you know, like three or four stand up shows a day. And I remember this one stand up show, for instance, and this guy. It was actually these group of kids that were in high school, and from the very beginning of the show, they would yell out things, you know, just blatantly, like during a music, like I have like an opening app that's kind of like, or opening act to my stand-up show. It's kind of a manipulation thing, and over the music, you know, they'd like yell just random, like trying to be witty, you know. So the thing with that is I did engage with them, and that was wrong, because it, from then on, it just became a game to them, you know, because they knew that I was gonna say something back. And so once they think it's a game and they don't just stop, then it's just kind of over for the show. So you have to really be careful, if you know, if you have to know what you're getting yourself into if you're gonna you know, engage with a heckler that is really just set on just screwing you up.
I want to take a few more questions here. We don't have too much more time, and I want to wrap this up. But there's a lot of really good questions here, so I'm trying to get to as many of these as we can. There's a good question here, another one about performance. He says, what do you consider your performance style, by SaberFang17? He's saying, do you like to be the mysterious guy that just knows what, you know, they're doing, or, you know, kind of calculating, the mysterious David Blaine character? Or do you pretend like the magic happens by itself, that you're just as fooled as the spectators are? What would you describe your performance persona as?
Well, I would definitely say I don't perform like David Blaine, I don't think.
No, I'd agree with that. I've seen you perform.
Yeah, I perform like David Blaine that's on drugs. No, I don't know. I would say that I definitely perform not like David Blaine, and more of just not really that I don't know, like I'm just a surprise. But it's that I like to have fun with people, you know, like I don't usually have a pattern. Like I have an idea for a pattern or what I'll say, but I always like to improvise on the pattern. And I always like to just, you know, actually be personable with the person and just have fun with them, because like you're not trying to be a comedy magician, but you just want to have fun with them because you're doing magic for someone. And the point is it should be fun for them to watch, you know? So, you know, I don't go into the mysterious thing really. So it's just, that's just my performance style. You know,
no,
I just have fun with people.
Yeah, it works for you. I think, you know, it's that's why when we went up to everyone on the street in New York, without fail, I don't think you were denied once, except by that one guy that was wearing a Chris Angel t-shirt that said he did not like Magic.
Yeah, the Chris Angel guy.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
So, but aside from that, every single time, Kalen, you went up to someone on the street, they were very, you know, they accepted you as wanting to show them something with open arms, because you weren't mysterious and you weren't like this, you know, gothic looking character that looks like he might be a mugger. I think that helps you, and it makes, you know, it goes with obviously what your real persona is in your day-to-day life, and it obviously is
It's just be yourself, you know, correct, when you perform. So I mean,
well, cool. Yeah, so we have to wrap this up. We need to get this podcast out and posted, but I wanted to thank Kalen for taking the time to go through all these questions. We got through a lot tonight, I feel like.
We did, yeah.
So you guys stay tuned. If you haven't checked out Transit yet, it's an amazing effect. We're very proud of it, to have it on our site, and there's a lot more coming. At the same time, we shot Transit, we shot some other stuff too, is all we'll say for now. So stay tuned over the coming weeks, and you'll see some really cool stuff.
Oh, the suspense builds.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, well, thank you to Kalen. Thank you for doing this. Hope you guys that are listening to this get a lot out of it, and we'll both chat with you soon.
All right, man. Talk to you later.